Oh my gosh, we're back again for the Radio St. Pete exclusive, often imitated, never duplicated, Asian cult cinema.
That's right. That's
my right. Name is Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius.
From parts unknown, and he is frantically wikiing to see if we can
You're
get
right.
Some...
She was not.
Okay.
So yep. Sven Gulli gives out bad info.
Well, you know, I don't know if we can hold him...
Yeah,
okay. And his word for everything he's ever said.
I'll let him pass on this one.
we'll give him a pass on this one. We're talking about some of the actresses and actors in this movie that we watched for this week, and boy, have we found a doozy for you this week.
Yes.
See, what happened was, a little bit of backstory, then we'll get into some other stuff, then we'll get into the movie. Backstory was, I was watching a documentary talking about monsters and monster movies and their impact on cinema, on American cinema, some of the good ones, some of the bad ones. And King Kong came up, you know, the original King Kong. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have that one. Sally the Beer Wench chimed in and said, I've never seen that. I went, what? And
she never saw King Kong?
No.
The original?
The original.
Oh.
And I said, I don't know if you'd make it through it. And she's like, I might, because it's, you know, well, whatever. I like it, but it's a good movie, but it's, you know, it's not one of those that you can watch. I wouldn't watch it like every year or nothing like that. It's no Death Race 2000 is what I'm trying to say. take that for what you would like. So then they started talking about some of the knockoffs. And then they did the Godzilla versus King Kong. And I was like, well, we did that one. I loved it. It was terrible. Because that one, we had a bad copy of it, but we got through it.
What, King Kong versus Godzilla?
Yeah.
We did that. We didn't do that in this show, did we?
One of them we did. Hmm. I'm sure. I'm almost sure we did. And then I saw the one where Toho made a robotic Kong to fight the other badly done King Kong. And I was like, well, I'm going to see what Amazon has to say about this situation. So I ordered all three of them on Amazon Blu-ray. I got the original King Kong, which was just a regular DVD for $3. And then Godzilla versus King Kong and King Kong Escapes for... like $4 or $5 each. So King Kong mania was running wild on me, brother.
Yeah, man.
So that was like the next week I said, hey, Dr. Morbius from Parts Unknown, would you happen to have King Kong Escapes? And you were like, no, but I can get it. And I was like, well, start digging. So we're doing it next week. So
yeah,
anyway.
Man. And we did.
And we did. Here we are, living proof right now. But I'll tell you who's not living proof. Jerry Lewis. He's not living anymore.
No. He had a good run, though.
Yeah, good enough.
91.
91?
91.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You said it's very ironic.
He died a week before the...
Labor Day.
Labor Day weekend.
Because that was always his...
Muscular dystrophy.
Muscular dystrophy.
Was it a week? Maybe it's 2 weeks. I think it was last week. Yeah. I can't remember now. But yeah, that's a biggie. That's one of the last big Hollywood guys.
Because when you said that, I went, huh? Because... I live in a world without TV, which means I live in a world without news, which means I live a happier life, but I also don't get some of these little tidbits unless it's on Facebook.
Well, I'm surprised you don't get it on, like, when you look at your email on AOL.
I don't look at any of that stuff.
Oh.
I kind of just don't look at anything anymore. My job...
Wow.
My new job is very... I don't want to say stressful. It's very... Because it's a new thing, and it's very different, very high like, fast-paced... I don't get into a lot of that stuff anymore. I'm sure it'll smooth out once I get more used to it. But it's a like high stress job right now.
Is it?
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't dislike the job, but it's I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh,
and so you're
yeah.
you know, you're kind of, like it's a lot of confusion, you're dealing with a lot of people, a lot of moving parts that break, so I don't have that time to like kind of dig around the internet anymore, so I just don't bother with it, you know.
I understand.
I get home and I just kind of veg out or cry.
You cry.
Lay in a fetal position and cry like a sissy. No, that's not
yeah.
true. That's all. All that's made up for fun. And who else passed away? You said...
Toby Hooper, the guy who directed the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Poltergeist, Salem's Lot.
Classics.
Life Force.
Now, you know what? Does he come up... That's one of those things when you mentioned who... Because you told me he died, and I was like, oh, okay. And you started talking about some of the stuff he's done. Do you feel he's like often lumped in with the masters of horror?
Yeah, he is. He is considered just basically those two movies, Texas Chainsaw and Poltergeist, are pretty, and even Salem's Lot are pretty iconic movies.
Right.
But he was a real hit and miss director. You know, there's a lot of misses in there. But even though I like Life Force, a lot of people didn't. But
I like, you know, Life Force.
Just yeah, we know why. Two reasons.
But Bazangas!
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he made Texas Chainsaw Man, that's one of the iconic movies of, you know,
an adaptation of a real person. But I doubt they're the real events were as horrific as the screen version. But
yeah, no. The Ed Gein story is worse. This one, this is based on Ed Gein, uh-huh. but the Texas Chainsaw is more, it's more fanciful, I guess. Yeah. There's a lot more.
I'm sure this dude was just a gross murderer.
He was just a gross murderer, yeah. There's
in
a movie,
Texas. Well, wrap your head around that.
There's a movie about him called Deranged about Ed Gein. It's not a...
He was in Texas. I mean, obviously.
I don't know. I don't remember where he was. I think it was Wisconsin. Wow. Someplace like that. Where you want to move.
No, he was like, look, I'm going to make this movie, but I'm going to make it some far away so I don't have to pay anyone any royalties, you know? So he just made up Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where...
he is considered master... When they did the Masters of Horror director series, he's usually in there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Sometimes some names don't pop out at me that I remember them, you know, where others are... The accolades never stop, you know.
I mean, there's always the story that Spielberg directed a lot of Poltergeist, but hey, he hired Toby Hooper, and Toby Hooper did...
Whatever.
Did whatever. Spielberg may have spiced it up a little
Poltergeist
bit.
Poltergeist was a scary movie to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. Like, it was... I mean, not scared like horror movies now today kind of have lost some of their subtleties. It's always just bash you over the head with gore and torture porn. But then, you know, that movie was very... Like, it just scared the crap out of you. I was a younger kid when I saw it.
Yeah, like when the guy looks in the mirror and his face starts peeling off.
Or that TV's just...
Yeah.
I was like, wow. You know, then
you see, that whole scene with the TV going or whatever, that's taken from a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, look, it's in the Twilight Zone.
You're like, oh, look, no one's getting sued over this.
Yeah, Rod Serling's passed away, so, you know. But anyway, yeah, Toby Hooper. And Jerry, yeah.
So there you go. Wow.
There's others, too, that passed away, but those are two of the bigger
ones. What are you going to do, you know?
Powers Booth, John, Gene Moreau, a few others like that.
But, I don't know who that is. I don't know his power. I know
Powers Booth. Powers Booth, I think, played Jim Jones in one of those Guyana, you know, the Drink the Kool-Aid movies. You know, the whole story about about that whole...
Yeah.
Where they got that great, you know, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. That's... Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
There was that one, like, movie that showed that, like...
There was a movie called Guyana, Cult of Death. I think Stuart Whitman played Jim Jones in it, but I think Powers Booth played him on TV.
I think I might have just been watching an actual documentary.
You probably were.
I stroke in and out of documentaries, like realistic or not. You know what I mean? Like my brain, I don't know. Sometimes I watch them like they're movies when I really shouldn't. whatever. I watch a lot of movies, everyone. I mean, a lot of movies.
So anyway, this movie that we're doing today, King Kong Escapes... Interesting. Yeah. This is based on the cartoon, the King Kong cartoon that was on TV in 67. Except Kong was controlled by a kid. This one is controlled by Doctor Who. Not that Doctor Who.
I know. I was like, come on, dude.
But it's the Japanese Doctor Who has really horrible teeth.
Oh, God. What was wrong with that? Those teeth?
The bottom teeth are like...
Not there.
No.
It's weird. Freaked me out. All right, we're going to take a trailer break. And when we come back, we're going to get into it. Japan doesn't only do giant monsters that come out of the ocean or fly or with three heads. They do King Kong too. Trust us, they do.
Yeah.
Not well. But they do them.
But they do it anyway.
All right, we'll be right back.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
It's just a farmhouse and looks pretty innocent from the road. But once you're inside, you'll see what really happens on a terror farm. Invasion of the Blood Farmers.
She's still alive. She's still alive.
Coming in the dead of night. Coming to plant the living and harvest the dead. Are you strong enough? More raw terror, more stomach-turning shock than you can take. Therefore, we warn you. Don't eat before you see Invasion of the Blood Farmers, and you'll have nothing to lose. They plant the living and harvest the dead. Invasion of the Blood Farmers, released by NMD Films, in color, rated PG, parental guidance suggested.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures, and the Dutch.
Invasion of the Blood Farmers, and Sense Around. Interesting, now, we have a minute to talk about this. Interesting thing, we were like doing some show research.
Yes.
And we found out that there was like two different Linda Millers. One was in this movie, did two or three things.
Green Slime.
We did.
And My Three Sons.
Yeah, and My Three Sons.
She was a model in Japan.
In Japan, and then got roped into doing King Kong Escapes. And then Linda Miller, who is Jackie Gleason's daughter.
There's another Linda Miller who's an actress, Jackie Gleason's daughter. Yeah. And it was my intention to say that because I was watching a King Kong Escapes from a Svengoolie show, and Svengoolie gave out all this info. And I was like, no, this is... And then it's like, we looked it up on that magic thing called
the Magic
Internet.
Box.
And, oh, no. And then I double-checked with the source, and the source confirmed.
Your source was incredibly accurate and knowledgeable. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, the source knew.
Oh, my God.
So
this guy must know everything.
Yeah, he knows everything.
Wow.
You know?
So, and then we started talking about, like, how our show is formatted, because we don't go deep diving into this stuff. And we're like, yeah, because the Internet's there. Who cares? You can spend 1 minute and know everything there is to know about one of these movies by clickety-click. There's Wikipedia. There's IMDb. Bloopity-bloop. Done. I know everything. It's very... We live in a strange time where information is so readily available. It's just... There it is. Like, I don't know. It's,
for what that's worth.
For what it's worth. Right. There is no slow burn anymore. There's no... You know, sometimes you can be watching a documentary about, a murder, and they're talking about these murderers or something like that. You can literally, when it starts, click on your phone, go, nope, they were caught. It was this guy. DNA came around, and that was the end of it. You know, then why would you spend the other 38 minutes to, like, watch them reveal some of the trials and tribulations? That it's not caught on the Internet version.
Yeah.
It's, so, I don't know, it's a double-edged sword to me. But anyway.
Anyway.
Thanks for tuning in. We're going to do, like, a semi-deep dive. Well, the snorkeling version. We're not deep diving and we're not just on the top of the water.
Yeah,
we're snorkeling.
This is 1967
King Kong Escapes. And as I said before, I saw a movie made by Toho, directed by Inishiro Honda. If you make a King Kong movie that battles a robotic King Kong, well, I'm tuning in. I don't care.
And the robotic King Kong actually looked better than the hairy...
Oh, yes, it did.
...ape-like King Kong, who looked like a cartoon.
Looked terrible.
Even though because he was based on a cartoon, maybe.
Yeah, but still. Their Kong is...
We did Peking Man. He was a little bit better, but not...
Not much better, but slightly
he was better.
Peking Man was also a little bit more man.
Yeah.
They tried to do a monkey, and the 1933 version was much better than their version. They loved that shot of the hand holding
the
girl.
The classic monkey.
And a King Kong holding the girl. You see it about 9 times. No, that's not even an exaggeration. He's carrying her, and they show that hand holding her a lot. They did those shots over and over. And you're like, oh.
We also get a lot of Linda Miller going, Kong, Kong. It was like, okay.
That was the rub. I liked this movie, but it was one of those movies I liked laughing at, not with. Japan does a lot of great things. If you listen to my shows enough, you know I dump adoration on Japan, sometimes not even deserved. I love Japan. I love their culture. I love their movies. Love their music. I love everything. Not everything. I love most things. They don't do King Kong quite as well as they do other miniatures, other things. Just not their forte. They shouldn't have ventured into this world. Like,
they did it twice.
Yeah. Like, learn your lesson, man.
These were co-productions, too, though. Yeah. Kind of like even Latitude Zero was a co-production. It was a co-production. Mm, King Kong vs. Godzilla was a co-production. You would think that Universal would go like, yeah.
How's about you don't do that? How about you
fix it up a little bit? You know?
How's about you just stick to your Godzilla and leave the
and
Kong
we'll
King
do the Kong,
Kong
to us? You know? But then again, America was not known for, you know, I mean, if you remember, whenever they needed an ape in a TV show, it was that same ape suit, you know what I mean? Which is kind of a funny
one. One guy rented one suit.
Yeah, George Barrows.
He was a millionaire.
George Barrows was one, and Ken Burns was the other one. I think not Ken Burns, George Barrows, and, oh, I can't think of his name. Anyway, there was
Wamba
a couple
Dude's
of guys.
Wamba uncle made one gorilla suit.
Yeah.
He's a millionaire because he rented
yeah,
to everyone.
He was in, like, all the Three Stooges and Abbott Costello's and all that.
So when Japan does something, generally, especially Honda's attached, Toho's attached, you're like, this is going to be pretty decent.
Bob Burns, not Ken Burns. Yeah. Ken Burns, the documentary. Bob Burns had the gorilla suit.
Ken Burns.
Ken Burns, history of the gorilla
it's
suit.
It's 18 hours long and it's boring as hell.
But it's got gorillas in it.
Yeah,
it
sure
does. Yay.
So,
anyway.
So, you know, going into this, I was like, this is going to be campy fun. It's going to be one of those outliers that most people ignore, but it's really funny. It wasn't so much. Like it wasn't terrible, and I'm not going to bag on this the whole time. It was like one of these, I don't know who wrote this. I don't know, like, if they wrote this. Like, they just had a couple scenes in mind and said, meh, run with it. There was a guy, Doctor Who. I was like, what? When he said that, I literally went, what? Like, pick another name. Come on. You know, like, Doctor Who is Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But
it was early, though. Early.
And he is this effeminate, cape-wearing, odd-looking Japanese dude. And
Badly dentured.
And he has... It's ill-defined. He is the king
he's
of evil.
He's an evil scientist, yeah.
He is literally just like every evil person put into a blender and dumped out, and here he is.
Yeah.
And with a touch of Liberace, I guess. I don't know. He has a touch of flair, but he's... His whole thing is he's going to dig up this Iridium X, some gobbledygook name, and it's going to make... It has the power to blow up a million universes, and you're like, what good's that? Like, and in comes Femme Fatale...
Miyahama,
Bond gal, and she's like, oh, our country needs that because then we can take over the world. They don't ever name the country.
No.
But one of the dresses, I know because I lived there for a year, one of the dresses resembles a traditional Korean dress, just without the overcoat kind of thing. So I think they were kind of hinting it was Korea.
She wore many different.
Yes, but one of them, the main one she wore towards the end was... like the Korean dress.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so she's Korean, but they're not going to say that because they want it to be whomever.
They don't
want
to put the... Yeah.
Yeah. They don't want to bother having a country hate them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They want to actually play in all these countries and they go, oh, she's evil and she's Korean. Thank you.
Korea,
we don't like you.
Yeah, because in Korea they say, oh, it's probably Chinese. And in China they're probably, oh, it's probably Japanese. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
We don't know.
So she's like, yes, I'm going to keep funding it. And then he's like, well, check out my big ape monkey I built. It's a robot. It's just like Kong, except better. And you're like, okay, whatever.
But the mechanic Kong couldn't do...
Yeah, he's digging down. He's like, he's going to dig down to where this Iridium X is, and he's going to be there in 20 minutes. Watch. And they fly up there, and he gets stuck to a magnetic boulder and conks out. And they're like, well, I'll just build another one. And she's like, no, I'm not going to give you money for that. Our country needs this stuff. And he's like, well, maybe some other country will. And she's like, oh, okay, then I will. In the meantime, they build one, but they just scrap that and go get the other Kong.
They go get the real Kong.
Which is like, okay, but there's a... Now, that's one
meanwhile,
plot.
Meanwhile, yeah, the other scientist. The scientist.
Meanwhile, on a different place, there's this submarine floating around with this American, like, captain and his sidekick.
Rhodes Reason, Mr. Deep Voice. He looks... Yeah. It was funny. There was a couple of scenes in it towards the end when him and Miyahama are like, you know, lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
And he looks a little bit like Bond. Yeah, he's got that Bond look to him. And I go, oh, this is kind of like a Bond
thought I spent the first half of the movie thinking it was the dude from...
It's his brother. It's the brother of the guy from This Island.
This Island, okay.
That's his brother.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Rex Reason and Rhodes Reason.
This whole time, I'm like, that's that guy. And I was like, that's not that guy. And I'm like, I'm having an internal argument with myself as I'm watching.
I was like,
that's not the guy from This Island Earth. But I was like, this guy's from that Island Earth, you know. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back. We got to plow through the rest of this then, which won't be hard. All right, here we go.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
All residents are advised to remain in their homes, keeping their doors and windows securely fastened. Police still offer no explanation for the series of five deaths which occurred early today. You are cordially invited on an excursion into fear. One step beyond terror with It's Alive. It's Alive. To science, a baffling enigma. To the police, a total mystery. To the innocent, certain death.
It's not an animal!
It kills like an animal.
And when we find it, it'll have to be destroyed like one.
It's Alive. And remember, it's deadly. It's Alive from Warner Brothers. In color. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
You gotta give me a ride.
I'm way too big to drive to the Devil's House.
All right, before we get too deep into it, I wanted to also make sure you, I know we got a lot of new listeners from a lot of different places that we're showing up now. Make sure you go to our archive, go to the archives tab in RadioSaintPete.com, and there you're going to find all of our old shows in the archives, as well as the shows for Indie Circuit, which is a show I do that's all about just me talking a little bit and playing some independent music. But we also have all kinds of other shows. You're like, how many shows do you do a week? It's like 1,000. If you go to bunchofdorks.com, there you're going to find me and Dr. Morbius here do one called Slow Robot A Go-Go. That's all B-movies all the time. Then there's a tab in the middle.
Two-dimension comic book podcast.
Comic book podcast with no direction. And then the bottom one is it's called Bunch of Dorks. It's just kind of a music and angry drunken thing fest.
Yeah.
That's older. That's an older one that defunct. It ran for 10 years, but then about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it stopped. Because sometimes things run their course. All right, back to the show. Now, we are in full gear because the sub pulls up with the square jaw, Japanese...
Akira Takarada from the first Godzilla movie.
He's the sidekick, and then Miyahama.
No. Linda Miller.
Linda Miller. And so they all show up, and...
Kang!
Yeah, they go to this island because they're like, oh, they're looking for him, and then there's this crazy Japanese dude who's just like, wow, 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 get away. And then you're like, okay.
And then a dinosaur pops up.
Yeah, that looks kind of like Godzilla, but not really. Yeah, exactly. It's a weird-looking dinosaur.
And then the girl's like, oh, my God. And then Kong comes in to save her. And he, beats the crap out of Gorosaurus. And then he swoops her up and scares the crap out of her and pulls that King Kong
scene. Yeah, and he pulls her, and then she's like, put me down, Kong. Put me down. Down, Kong. And you're like, oh, no, this isn't going to be the whole movie, is it? And then, go to the boat, Kong. You're like, oh, no, this is the whole movie. This is horrible. And that's where you kind of go, ooh.
So she lets her go. They go back to the boat, but Kong goes up to the boat, and he's like, come out to play.
Yeah, me want to play now. And they're like, Kong, leave us alone.
All right. Yeah. They leave. You see the long shot of Kong just kind of sad, sitting in front of the island going like, aww.
So then the bad guy is like, well, I'll just go get the other Kong, too. They're in the North Pole. So just whatever.
Yeah, bear
so
with.
They show up with, and the bad guy evils around and murders the guy there, and they blow up a thing of tear gas and knock Kong out, and then they fly him onto a boat, and the boat goes up back to the North Pole.
And he puts like a headphone or microphone on Kong.
I'm going to hypnotize him, and you're like, I don't think that's going to work for nothing.
And then he's like, okay, Kong, start digging for whatever.
For the Radio Max, and he's digging and digging, and he's like, see, I told you, this is going to work. And I'm also evil, and look at my cape, and I'm weird.
Then
he digs and digs and digs, and then Kong, like, the bright light flashes, and it's from the Radio Max, and it flashes, and he kind of goes, oh, wait a minute, I'm not hypnotized anymore. So he rips the stuff off his ear, and now you have a giant Kong running around wrecking stuff.
Yeah.
And he's running through the thing, and then they're like, oh, it's okay, we'll have him fight Mechanical Kong.
Yeah, right. But then our intrepid heroes end up at...
Well, they're going there, and then they send a plane, they're like, oh, we need the bomb pieces.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry to cut you off. The three go back to the island. They're like, oh no, Kong's gone. Hey, this is weird. It's a bomb from the when they blew up the tear gas.
That's right. That's right.
And they're like, oh, this has Japanese writing on it. And then, then the bad guys are like, oh, because they're like sitting there listening in the bushes, and they're like, oh, and then there's like, oh, come to this Japanese plane because we're gonna we need to take the pieces from you to take there. And he's like, okay, you know. And then they just say, get in the plane, and they just leave. And you're like, I don't think that's how any of that works.
Yeah, but. So they end up at the headquarters.
Yeah, in North Pole.
In like, North Pole, yeah. And they're like, oh, Doctor Who. And like Doctor Who and Biff Squarejaw knew each other. And he goes, oh, I think we'll play a game of chess. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Meanwhile, we're going to imprison you and torture you.
In the most odd ways.
By freezing you.
And that's the other thing. I was constantly like, who's this girl dating?
Yeah.
She's kind of snuggling up with the Japanese
with Takarada,
dude. And then she's like, runs over to the other guy. I'm like, look, man.
Three.
Yeah. Menage a trois, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ugh, gross. Yeah. Anyway, so now they keep, and this is where it's like,
and then Mia Hamm starts like getting the hots for Rhodes Reason too.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
So she's trying to seduce him, and he's like, you know, hey, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm Biff Squarejaw, and you know, I don't really want to.
I don't really want to do that
or anything like that. And where are you from anyway? She never tells you where she's from.
And this is the from this point on, the scenes get very odd. In that they play exactly the same, just over and over. Something's happening. Evil guy walks in. Rah, 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 rabble, rabble. They pull him out. They go to the cell. The bad guy walks in. They take him out. They start freezing him. The bad guy walks in. The girl takes him out and they start drinking booze. The bad guy walks in. It's like, you're like, oh my God, would you finish a freaking... It's like a record that just keeps skipping back to the front. You're like, would you do something? Would you do anything? No? Great.
Yeah.
So now, Kong just kind of like, I don't even know how this happened.
Kong's heading back to Tokyo.
They're going to Tokyo, and they're like, and she's like, well, they can't go to Tokyo. And you're like, why would anyone go to Tokyo? That wasn't even brought up in this movie till this moment.
They go,
like,
well, we're going to have to send Mechani Kong to Tokyo, too.
Sure, whatever.
They have like a big old fight, because everybody fight. All the giant monsters love to fight in Tokyo. Tokyo gets so angry because they destroy them, and then they have to rebuild
so now,
them.
And now we have the standard Japanese people running around as the military rolls in, because they can't do a movie without that.
Yeah.
And then they have the Kong fight, and this is where, I know you're going to probably roll your eyes at me, and you should. This is where the ending should be. Godzilla comes out and kills them both and says, stop touching my stuff, and goes back into the water. I think that could be the ending to most Japanese movies, but I digress.
Yeah, well,
I'm a different breed.
Yeah, well, yeah. This wasn't a Toho production.
Oh, no, it was.
Oh, well, wait a minute. What? Yes. Yeah, it was a Toho, wasn't it? I know Rankin Bass was involved.
But they weren't going to do that.
I think Universal was involved. Yeah, Toho was involved. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They were,
but anyway, so it doesn't matter. And you know, so now they fight, and they fight on the Tokyo Tower, which is that Eiffel Tower-looking thing.
And then you go back to the intrigue with... You know, our heroes and our villains. You know, the villains are like, the heroes are getting tied up now and they're going to get killed. But then Mia Hamm decides that she gets pissed off at Doctor Who.
Oh, I'm good now. Kind of.
She's good now because she gets pissed off at him because he's doing whatever he wants to do. So she frees them so they can escape. And then she goes bad on him, and then she gets into it with him, and he ends up killing her.
She turns on Cape Guy, and this is an oddly paced scene. It's like they didn't like each other very much or whatever.
She never did. She's always going, if you're going to die if you don't do that. Yeah.
She was very cold.
Him at all. Yeah.
And he gets the upper hand and kills her, but she turns off all the knobs, so now now Kong isn't controlled again, and then now it's just a big old monkey fight. And the robot Kong goes, oh no, I lost my power. And he falls off the Tokyo Tower, smashes into like 20 garbage cans.
Because Mechani Kong, Linda Miller had gotten in the middle of the Kong thing, and the Mechani Kong grabbed her, and he dropped her, and King Kong
caught her,
like usual, you know.
And this is where it kind of ends, and you're like, okay, what? No, it doesn't end here. So now the Mechani Kong falls and just breaks apart.
Doctor Who dies. Doctor Who tries to escape on the boat, but
they're on a big boat.
Gong finds him and beats him.
No, that's not what happens. Well, it's what happens, but First, you see Kong running, and they're driving behind him in this big Cadillac. I don't think a Cadillac could drive in Japan. And the three of them are in it, and this is where Kong, stop that ship, Kong!
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like a minute and a half of this girl going, Kong, make sure you go, go, go.
And you're like,
oh, it's nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
And then to escape her, Kong runs over and trashes this boat.
Yeah, that's right.
I love this part because Kong rips off the propeller and just decks the boat with the propeller. I'm like, yeah, yeah, that was a good shot. He's just trashing his boat with his gigantic propeller.
Oh, God, what a movie.
And it sinks, and then Kong swims off, and then... I don't know. You kind of watch it and laugh and shrug, and you're like, I don't know what the hell I just watched.
It's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely a kid. If you were a kid and you saw this on Creature
Feature, you're sitting there in Japan
in like 1968 or 69 or 70, you're going crazy.
Some Japanese kid would probably be like,
American
kids. Oh, yeah,
My friend Pat sent me a copy of this, and he was like, I loved this movie when I was a kid. And I'm like, yeah, I bet you did. You know, I kind of like it, but I
didn't hate it.
No, I didn't hate it.
It was dopey.
It was dopey
as hell. And it was one of those things where you watch and you're like, well, go back to Godzilla. Japan, go to Godzilla. You do monsters. Great. We love you for your monsters. Leave the monkey genre alone. Not your forte, you know.
Yeah, not yet anyway. Maybe, you know, they're doing it in the King Kong vs. Godzilla.
I heard they teased that, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about that.
So, we'll see how they do it.
Two bankable stars. They can't keep them apart. What can you say?
It's going to be Toho, so we'll see how they do it. They got another chance. Let's see if they do it right this time.
I have faith, but I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll say it that way.
I understand
This one was one of those weird movies. I can see why it fell into obscurity. It wasn't enough of anything to matter.
I don't think it fell into obscurity. It didn't rise to the level of the other ones. Mechanicong's pretty cool.
It's good. I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
And the actors playing... The actors doing the monkey motions were great. I guess obscurity was a little bit harsh, but
it would have been cooler if it was Gargantua versus Mechanicong. Gargantua was kind of cooler looking. You know?
They lose it on the monkey.
Yeah.
Mechanical monkey is great. The real monkey is terrible.
I don't know why.
The face,
what the deal was.
The blinky face and stuff, and you're like, this is not going well, dude.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I'd have to go like a 6.5 with it.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going.
I didn't hate it. I laughed a lot. I mean, if this comes on a hungover Sunday morning, watch it. It's great. You know, if you're looking for a real rousing adventure, I would
pass.
It's
definitely
like
a 60s movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's got 60s vibe to it.
Cool.
Colors, cool.
Yeah, they had a lot. And I do love that stuff. I love the subs they made back then.
Yeah, the miniatures.
And all the computers were mostly just blinky lights and switches, you know.
Yeah,
so
you
got a lot of that going on.
Good stuff.
Last week we did Batman 66 on our other show, on our Slow Robot. So we know all about the blinky lights and computers of the time, you know.
They were better.
they were
the
blinkier.
The blinkier computers were better.
The walls of blinking stuff.
The blinky
like, wow.
Computers with the reels on them. They were so much better.
I liked when the reels would just kind of go back and forth, but they didn't really do anything. They just kind of went back.
That's right. They didn't do anything. They're not going to be like AI and take over the world. They really didn't do anything. They just said, look at me.
It's a little dance in the background.
Yeah,
like,
dance.
A little dance. Make a little love. Do some cute computing tonight.
Get down tonight. Yeah.
All right, that's going to be it for this week. You got anything else?
No.
Nope, we're done? Okay, my name's Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And we will see you next week for more Asian cult cinema.
Make way for Corrado, the Hong Kong cat. He's the king of kung fu karate. He's quick as a cougar, strong as a lion, fierce as a tiger, and he preys on man. He's coming to tear you apart. The Hong Kong Cat. Rated R. He's wild, man.